It began really in December 1993 when he was in a software firm. He was the chief technical officer in a software firm, and he'd been trying to create high-performance teams for about 10 years. He'd been experimenting, he'd been trying, and finally in December 1993 he was in a situation where the firm, or the ESEL Corporation, a firm in Boston, was in a terrible crisis. They provided software for other companies, object-oriented software, and a competitor had come up with a product which was basically putting them out of business. And the CEO knew that if they did not come up with a new product within 6 months, they would be dead. That the future of that firm was in jeopardy. It was certain to die. And the CEO also knew that the prospects did not look promising, because in the software developers that he had, they had never delivered a product on time. It was always late. They had never delivered a product within budget. They were always way over budget. They never produced a product that was free of bugs. It was always riddled with bugs. And now the future of the firm is going to depend on this team, which has never done it before, producing something without fail within 6 months. And so Jeff Sutherland went to the CEO and said, well, in your 25 years of running software companies, have you ever seen a team that's produced software on time and within budget and without bugs? And he said, no, never. Never in 25 years. He said, well, you know the definition of a fool? It's when you keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. So I'm going to propose to you a very different way of doing things. We are not going to have any reports. We are not going to have any of those Gantt charts, those PERT charts that were totally misleading. We are instead going to ask the team to produce software, and we are going to let them self-organize. We are going to get out of their way, in a sense, because whenever we try to manage them more tightly, it seems to have the opposite effect. So we're going to do the opposite of that. We're going to let them organize. We're not going to manage them. We're going to say, you must produce this result, this product, in 6 months. We don't want any reports. We don't want any Gantt charts. We want the finished product, and we want it on time, and it's up to you guys to figure out how to do it. So we're not going to tell you how to do it. We are going to let you figure out how to do it. And the CEO said, Jeff, you're telling me that these people who've never delivered anything on time, they're going to organize themselves and somehow magically produce this result in 6 months? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. And who's going to manage them? They're not going to have a manager. They're going to manage themselves. They're going to organize themselves. There will be no manager. In fact, I'm not going to let you talk to this team. We have to leave them alone. One of the reasons they're not getting things done is because they're getting interrupted. We need to get out of the team's way. And the CEO says, well, I mean, I wait 6 months and then jump off a cliff when they haven't delivered. Why don't I just jump off a cliff now? Why wait? And Jeff said, well, we are going to give you one thing. At the end of each month, the team will produce some half-finished piece of software, something that you can use, something that you can try out, something that you can feel. And when you see that, then you can say, well, I like this, but there's some features of it I don't like. But you'll be able to see whether the team is making progress. But it won't be a report. It will actually be a product, something that you can actually use. And we'll do this at the end of each month for 6 months. And if at the end of the first month they haven't produced anything, yeah, we should regroup, we should refigure things. But we're going to rely on this team to figure out how to do this. And so he, and no management of this team at all, just said that we're going to do two things. We're going to provide a coach for the team, someone who knows about teams, who knows about how to work productively together. He won't be the boss of the team. He will be a coach, somebody who was there to coach the team on good practices and remove impediments. If something is getting in the way of the team, this is the guy who will figure out how to get rid of that obstacle. And his name is going to be, that's John, you know, John. John is going to be the coach. And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to assign Don to assemble all of the possible requirements that this team needs to address and to put them in a prioritized order from start to finish, which are the most important things, and consolidate that. Because one of the things that's been happening in these teams, the team has been getting instructions from all sorts of different places. The CEO asked the team to do this, I've asked them to do something else, the finance says do it a different way, the clients are screaming for something else, the sales people want something else, support wants something else, the team is bombarded with requests on a continuing basis. How can they decide what they need to do? So we need to get our act together. We need more management on our side. We need to clarify what exactly do we want from this team, and the person who's going to do that coordination, that consolidation, is going to be Don. And Don is the only person who's allowed to talk to the team. If you want something done from the team, talk to Don, not the team. And Don will talk to the team once a month when we have this meeting and see what software they produce. So at that point, you give your instructions to Don, and then he'll work it out with the team at the end of the month. And so the CEO said, Jeff, if this doesn't work, I'm going to kill you. So they did it. And Jeff assembled the team and said, this is what's happened. We are in a terrible crisis, and I am calling on you guys to save our bacon. We have to have this new product within 6 months. You're going to have to figure out how to do it. We're not going to tell you how to do it, and we're going to leave you in peace for the 6 months, except that at the end of every month, you need to produce a finished product, something that's valuable, something that people can see how it could be valuable, they can try it and use it, and then they'll get new instructions, guidelines on priorities, and we'll then proceed for another month. And we'll do that for 6 months, and by the end of 6 months, we need to have this product. And if there's anything you need, let us know. This actually, surprisingly enough, is pretty important for us. This must succeed. So if there's anything you're lacking, anything that's getting in your way, let us know, and we will provide it for you. This is terribly important. And so then they took them to the room, big room, where they were going to be doing this production, and said, okay, you're on your own. Here is John, he's your coach, and John will help you get on the way. And so the group of software developers is in this room, and first of all, they're thinking, well, maybe this is a new form of layoff that has invented. And then they're like, well, this is actually pretty cool. We've got 6 months and no intervention, no interference from management. This is actually pretty cool. And they start talking about their wives and their kids and what they're doing on the weekends. And then somebody said, hey, we've just spent 3 hours and we now only have 27 days and 5 hours before we have to actually produce something. And we're going to look like fools at the end of that period if we haven't done something. We better get our act together. And we've got to start tracking. And so the team actually got together. And with John's help, they introduced a number of good team practices. They introduced a daily stand-up meeting, a 15-minute daily stand-up meeting, where the team reports to each other, not to John, but to each other, and addressing three questions. What did you do yesterday? What are you going to do today? And what impediments are you facing in the improvement of this group? Those three questions are three powerful questions. And if you get nothing else out of this whole symposium, you might keep those three questions in mind and try it out on various groups in which we're involved in a daily stand-up meeting asking those three questions. What did you do yesterday? What are you going to do today? And what impediments are you facing? And that brings, it's a kind of check-in with the group, sees what's going on, sees what everyone is doing, and creates total transparency within the group. That was one practice they adopted. The second good practice they adopted was that in deciding which tasks to start working on, they didn't choose each one choosing the task that I like. Well, I like to do this kind of thing, and that person likes to do that kind of thing. And so everyone grabs a piece of this, then goes away into their corner and works on their thing. Instead, they first of all ask, what is the thing that will delight our client the soonest? What is the thing, what is the task, set of tasks from that list of things we need to do, which will be, give the earliest possible positive response, a sense in our clients of what this product is going to look like. And so they didn't do the most important thing or the most urgent thing, but the thing that would give the client a sense of what it was they were doing, so that they would then be able to get feedback from the client as to whether they were on the right track and to get some course correction. And they tended not to work on individual tasks, but to work in pairs. In software development, it's a very frequent thing to do nothing alone but to work in pairs. And so by the end of the first month, they had the meeting with the CEO, and lo and behold, they actually had working software. Software that was obviously just the beginning, but the CEO could start to see something tangible, something that he could use, something that he could experience. And he could say, well, yeah, I mean, I really like this, and I really like that, but that thing over there, I'm not so hot about that, so it could be next time do something about that. And he agreed, well, yes, we are heading in the right direction. This is encouraging. And so they went for another month. And Jeff did another thing. He had Friday meetings of software developers in other companies and MIT and invited them to come in and see what the group was working on. And so every Friday they would come in and they would look at what the group was doing and they would give comments like, I mean, I can't believe that you have something as lousy as that in the software. I mean, if you really want to do it right, go down the road where somebody else is doing exactly the same thing but has a much better idea. And those bugs, I can't imagine you have bugs as basic as that in your software. What are you doing? Every Friday, they were told how they had screwed up. Every Friday they were, yeah, that's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong. And they'd get depressed, and Jeff Sullivan would have to back them up, try to raise their morale. He'd been in the Air Force, and he was trained at West Point, and he was a gymnast at West Point. And so for 3 hours every day, he would come in and do his gymnastics expert, and he was on the parallel bars, and he'd do his flip, and the coach, who was at the time was the coach of the U.S. Olympic team, would say, after he'd done his flip, Jeff, that's not right. Do it again. That went on for 3 years, time after time after time after time. And just to rub the point in, when the coach would get up on the parallel bars and do it perfectly and say, Jeff, that's what you should be doing. For 3 years he did that. So, but by the end of 3 years, he could actually do that flip better than almost anyone else. He had learned the power of persistence, of fighting and fighting and fighting to get to a level that he didn't know how to get to before. And so he would tell that story and other stories to the team to say, look, this is part of it. It's failing and failing and failing and persisting to get to a new level. And so they continue on the track, and by the fifth month, the CEO agreed that the software was ready to ship. And so it was shipped, and it was a big success in the marketplace. 1 month ahead of schedule, within budget, below budget, and high quality, free of bugs. And the team actually measured the productivity. One of the things about Geeks is they measure everything, and they measure the productivity. This team was 5 times more productive than industry norms. Okay? How did it happen? It was not by being managed. It was by the team self-organizing and finding a way to do this. So Jeff, I think, cracked the code. Not that he cracked the code, he tried this in 4 other companies. Worked again. He then started presenting papers And in fact, for the last 15 years, he's now been wandering around the world creating teams, showing people how to create high-performance teams. And it's a very different way of running an organization from traditional Fortune 500 companies. And we're going to be looking at what's involved in that. What are the steps in order to create high-performance teams? And this has now become a huge movement. It has funny, geeky names like Scrum and Agile and XP and DSDM, but it's in these big companies, Google and Yahoo and Nokia, the banks, insurance companies, and the software department taking this up. And you can see the several hundred companies where this has become a huge, huge movement. You can check that out. There's a website, the Agile Alliance, which gives tremendous amount of information about these teams that have become so productive. And what's exciting is that this has now spread beyond software and to other parts of the organization. People said, well, if it's so productive in software, why don't we run our finance department like this? Why don't we do marketing and sales? Why don't we do our consulting business? And it's even spread into the whole organization starts to organize itself around self-organizing teams. And of course, when you think about it, this is what Toyota's been doing for 60 years in their own inscrutable way. Basically, self-managed teams, teams where the team itself decides how to do the work and has coaches rather than people controlling and directing their work.